Malachi chapter number 1, we're going to look at verse number 6. Malachi chapter number 1, verse number 6. The Bible says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" Let's pray this morning. We'll get right into our Sunday school lesson this morning, all right? Father, we do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for just this chance that you've given us to come to your house today and just to meet and to feed on your word, Lord. And I pray that this would just be a blessing, Lord. This is not anything new this morning. It's not anything that probably most of the people in here don't know. And Lord, I pray that I would just present it well. Lord, I pray that it would glorify you, Lord, above everything. Help the morning service. I pray that you'd be honored also in that. Help all the other Sunday school teachers who are teaching. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them and help them. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're given two different relationships here in verse number 6. All right, if you look at it with me, it says, "A son honors his father." So that is our first relationship that we see here in this verse, is a son and a father. The second relationship that we see is the second phrase, "and the servant, his master." So we have two different relationships here. We have a son to the father, and we have a servant to the master. Now, obviously, those are two very, very different relationships, okay? But they all, both of these, the Bible says, they have the same responsibility, if you would, to one to another, okay? Verse 6 says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master." So we see that a son honors his father, and a servant, because we're not given another adjective there, or another verb there, a servant honoreth his master, okay? And all of you that work, you all and have a dad, which all of us have a dad, all right? I have to explain that to children's church kids sometimes. They don't get the whole, we all have dads, but they, honestly, this is a side note and I just thought of it, but on their behalf, if you think about it, a lot of them don't have dads. And so the whole God as being a father concept to these children's church kids, a lot of times, they don't understand that because they don't have a dad. So that was a side note, but when you're dealing with the kids, think about that, because sometimes you can't use the dad relationship because they don't know what it means to have a dad. So anyway, that was just kind of random. But so we have a servant and a son. These two both require honor to those. And we're going to talk about our relationship to God. I'm not going to talk about your relationship to your father or your relationship to your boss at work. But God here is saying, he's asking the children of Israel in Malachi, he's sending Malachi to ask him. He states this, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master." Then God asks a question here. "If then I be a father, where is mine honor?" So the children of Israel at this point, they're saying, "God, you're our father," or "Jehovah, you're our father." And God's asking them a question. Okay, "You call me father, where is mine honor? Where is the honor that I should be getting as a father?" Let's go to Exodus. Flip back to Exodus. Chapter 20, the Ten Commandments chapter. The relationships that God gives, God uses almost every relationship in the Bible as a picture of his relationship to his people. All right? A father and a son. All right? A servant and a master. A husband and a wife. God uses those relationships as pictures. So when you violate one of those relationships, you're violating basically the principle of your relationship to God. But Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So if we're supposed to honor our earthly father, don't you think it would be right for us to honor our heavenly father? It would be. And God here, though, is saying, all right, listen, children of Israel, you call me dad, basically, okay, but you don't treat me like that. You don't give me any honor, okay? I want to honor my father, okay? And I want to live my life in such a way that would please Him. I want to do things that would, you know, I like it when I do something and my dad's like, hey, that was a good job. That means a lot to me. It really does. So why wouldn't that be the same case with me and God? Why wouldn't I want to do things that God would say, hey, that was a good job. You honored me. You know, this morning, I'm just teaching a simple Bible lesson, but I want to honor God in this Bible lesson. Okay? So we see the relationship of a father and a son here. And you know, there is a different relationship with my dad to me than there would be my dad to an employee that works for him. There's a different relationship there too. Okay? I worked with my dad for some time. We farmed. And, you know, he didn't treat me. He treated me different. I was still an employee, and I still had to go to work and do what he said. But you know what? He also treated me a little bit different than he did all the other employees. Brother Tommy's got a son. You know, you treat him different. All right? In some ways, you can almost treat them harsher. At least that's what I kind of have experienced. I mean, it's like, son, what are you doing? I mean, like, sorry, Dad. But, you know, it's not necessarily going to do that to an employee, if you know what I mean. Okay? I'm going to treat, you know, I have Lucas Abel, and he's a great worker. I want to thank Brother Abel for training him that way. But you know what? When my son gets to the age, you know, I will probably be somewhat, because it's not just me teaching him how to work like I am with Lucas, the skill set. I'm teaching him a work ethic when I teach my own son. So I got to teach my son differently than I would a servant. So our relationship to God, we see this, is like, okay, God's going to love you as a son. But we also see in the second part, and if I be a master, where is my fear? Where is my fear? You know, as an employee, there is a different type of respect that you got to give to your employer. There's not the familiarity there that you have with your dad. Okay? There's a little bit more of a distancing, a respect there. Now, I'm not saying, you know, when I went to work, you kind of had to separate work from home in a way. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I didn't expect any favors when I was at work. Not that, I mean, but you know what, I think you understand what I mean. You know, when I'm at home, that's one thing. But when I'm at work, that's another thing. But God here, God says we're both. We're both a servant and a son. I want to show you there's basically one concept here that I want to kind of point out to you, and then we're going to kind of switch gears just a little bit, and we're going to go to the book of Galatians. But let me state this, and I hope this makes sense to you. As a servant, and then we're talking about our relationship to God here, as a servant, your position, okay, get this, your position as a servant changes with your service. Your position as a servant changes with your service. As a son, my position as a son never changes. Does that make sense? My position, I'm talking about position here. I'm not talking about, you know, the favor. I think I've referenced that before. I'm talking about position. I'm always his son. Always. I could change my last name, but I'm still his son. But you know what? A servant screws up enough. You have an employee that just doesn't show up to work. You know, before long, he's not going to be your employee anymore. Does that make sense? So he can lose his position as a servant. He can also gain position as a servant. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse number 42. This is just a parable, but this illustrates this. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So we're talking the first verse, verse 43, he's talking about, so when the Lord comes back, The master has been away. Remember, a servant feareth his master, honoreth his master. So blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So here's the first servant that's doing what he's supposed to do when the boss comes back. So when God comes back, let me ask you this, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Because you will be blessed in that. Verse 44, of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Okay? So he went from just being a steward to the Lord making him ruler over all that he had. So there was an increase here in service. So the servant had an increase in service. And you know, folks, I'm just going to say this. God treats all of his children the same, but God doesn't necessarily treat all of his servants the same. My dad treated all of us kids the same. But if you have an employee that works harder than another employee, you're going to treat that employee different. Okay? So verse 44, of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. So he had an increase here. The servant, because he obeyed the master, had an increase in his service. He basically went from being, you know, I don't keep up with all the lingo, but, you know, instead of being a shift supervisor, he became foreman of the plant. That type of thing. Okay? He went up a step. Verse 45. And if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whosoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So then we have another example of another servant. He did not obey. He knew what he was supposed to do, but he didn't obey. And because of that, he did pretty much opposite. I mean, he beat the men servants and he beat the maid servants and he got drunk and just basically had a big party. So the Lord came back and gave him a beating, and the Bible says it cut him asunder. Okay? What was the situation there? You had a servant that was demoted because of his service. Okay? So the first one, we had a servant that was promoted because of his service. Second one, we had a servant that was demoted because of his service. Think about, remember the parable of the men with the talents? The first one got 5 talents. Second one got 2 talents. And the last one got 1 talent. The first one doubled his talents. And he was what? Promoted or demoted? Promoted. Second one had 2 talents. And he got 4 talents. Promoted or demoted? Last one had 1 talent, and when he got done, he still had 1 talent. When he knew that his Lord wanted him to increase his talents, was he promoted or demoted? Demoted. Okay? So God's saying in Malachi, here's your position as a servant, but your position can change. Okay? And I also want to express to you this morning is, folks, our position as a servant of God can change. It will change. Based upon your works, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, I think you're going to want to have served God faithfully. I think you're going to want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay? But the other relationship here is as a son. It's as a son. Now remember, as a son, your position never changes. Your position always remains the same. As a servant, Your boss can fire you. Happens. Okay? That's happened to me. Alright? But you know what? As a son, your dad can't necessarily get rid of you. I mean, he can kick you out of the house. Alright? And at some point, he probably should kick you out of the house. But you have that relationship. You're still a son. And when you become a son of God, when you become a child of God, I use son talking about daughters too, okay, ladies. but the Bible references as a son, okay? When you become a child of God, that relationship never changes. You're always a child of God. You know, I tell these, and that's the biggest thing I tell these kids in children's church, and I'm sorry I keep referencing, but that's what I'm used to. You got kids that, you know, they'll raise their hand 1 week for salvation, and I want to help everybody here. You have a kid that will raise their hand 1 week for salvation, and you deal with that kid, and you truly believe, man, I believe this kid got saved. I really do. I mean, as far as I can tell, genuine salvation. The next week, you come to children's church, you preach on salvation again. They pop their hand right back up. You're like, man, I know I dealt with that kid, and I was very thorough, all right? And I want to be thorough. The last thing I want is to have a young person or an adult have a false sense of salvation. Because if they have a false sense of salvation, the devil will use that in their mind to work against them later on when the Holy Spirit is trying to convict them. All right? And it's almost worse. So, but that kid will raise their hand at the beginning. And I like talking to them, saying, you know, come up here. Why'd you raise your hand again? Well, I want to get saved. What did you do last week? And they kind of like think about it. Well, you kind of got to help them. They don't know the terms. Well, did you ask Jesus to come in your heart last week? Yeah, I did. I said, so who's living in your heart right now? Who's living inside of you? Well, Jesus. So, remember what we talked about last week? Who becomes your father when you get saved? God. God becomes my father. Okay. If they understand that God is their father, you can illustrate to them, and this is where I was talking about that if they don't have a dad, it's hard for them to understand sometimes. But I'll use my illustration of my dad, okay? Let's say, and this is me talking to them, let's say I go out and I disobey my dad this week. And they're like, okay. Does my dad kick me out of the house because I disobeyed my dad this week? And they get this, well, no. Did you disobey your dad this week? And sometimes that's actually why they raise their hand. Yeah. And then sometimes most of these kids, a lot of times they don't want to admit that they're sinners because they're afraid that you're going to get them in trouble. They don't want to, you know, admit that they stole something because they're afraid that you're going to go tell whoever they stole it from. Yeah, I disobeyed dad. And you can illustrate, you know, I can disobey my dad, but does that change the fact that I'm still his son? No. I can do some pretty horrific things, but does that change the fact that I'm still Jack Gordon's son? No. And it doesn't change the fact, listen folks, it doesn't change the fact that you're God's child. If you've asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, that fact cannot be changed. Now, you can do some pretty bad stuff. I can go out and kill somebody. But does that change the fact that I'm his son? No. He could you could say, well, he could disown you. That does not, you want to check DNA? I am still his son. I am. Okay? So you can do some, you think, and some of you may be this way. I don't know. Well, I've done some pretty bad stuff, and I don't know how, I've been saved before, but I don't know how God could forgive me of that. Well, are you still God's son? If you did that and your father, would you still be your father's son? Yes. You still would be. All right? And we're going to get into something else here in just a minute about being a son. But listen, folks, your position as a son will not change. Your position as a servant, it can change. But your position as a son will not change. Okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Just a couple pages over. Luke chapter 15, very familiar passage. Verse 11, the Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So this boy pulled a bonehead, okay? He sinned. He did what was wrong. But did you see the father? Let's keep reading. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was fain and filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So this is what this boy's got in his mind. Okay, man, I have really screwed up as a son. I'm going to my father. Now listen, watch this carefully. I'm going to my father and I'm going to try to change my position with my father. I'm going to go try to change it from a son to a servant. Now listen, remember what I said. You're both. You're a son and a servant. Okay? That servant thing can change, but the son thing will never change. So he's trying to go to his dad. He's in his mind, he's going to say, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. Let's see how it works. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Where's the rest of what he was supposed to say? What was the other part that he was supposed to say? Make me as one of thy hired servants. Did he ever get that far? No. Look at verse number... I lost my spot. Verse number 22. Before he could finish, before he could say, make me as one of thy hired servants, his father said, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. You know what? You can do some royally screwed up things. And you go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I don't even deserve to be thy son. And he's going to say, I forgive you. Let's go. Now, honestly, with his position, with his favor with his dad, his position stayed the same. He's still his father's son. But you know what? He did screw up. And he doesn't get all of the things that his older brother gets. But he's still a son. He's still a son. Now, if that was an employee, and his employee did that, I don't think the dad would have, you know, gave him a new robe, put a ring on his finger, and killed the fatty calf. That was for his son. It's for his son. You know, folks, we are the children of God. We are. If you're saved, you are a child of God. And God has that special position, not just position of a servant, and we all are servants of God. We ought to be. It's not just a position of a servant, and I'm going to show you that late in Galatians, you're both. Not just position of a servant, but you're position of a son. A son. All right? Let's go to Galatians chapter number... We're going to start in chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse number 26, Galatians 3:26. The Bible says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, chapter 4, verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, look at this, the adoption of sons. the adoption of sons. You say, Brother Chad, I'm not a Jew. I'm not a seed of the seed of Abraham. I'm not an Israelite. That's true. We weren't born into that nationality, the one that's been blessed by God. But you know what? There's a thing called adoption. Adoption. And we've all been adopted. We're Gentiles, but we've been adopted. And you know what? When a child is adopted, it's not, you know, we've got the foster care system right now. That's not an adoption. You know, a foster child is not a part of that family until they are adopted. Now, a family can't adopt a child. And when a child is adopted, that child then becomes a part of that family. They are a part of that family. My oldest sister, Amy, is adopted. She was, I don't know, I was probably, it was like last year I found out she was adopted. I mean, it was, no, I'm kidding. I knew she was adopted. She's the only redhead we got. So. But she was adopted. Did my parents treat her any different than the rest of us? Absolutely not. I didn't even, like I said, it wasn't last year, but it was a long time before I even realized, I didn't know she was adopted. She's just my sister. She's my big sister. Okay? But you know what? She's adopted. You know, she is just as part of one of the heirs of my parents as I am or my other two sisters. She's adopted. You know what? We're adopted into God's family. And I am, let's keep reading here. I'm not going to say it. I'll let the Bible say it. Verse number 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Alright? I'll stop there. But you know what? Because you're saved, because you've asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, if you've truly done that, your position has changed from just a servant, all right, to a son. To a son. Now, a son should also serve his father, okay? And he should serve, and in my opinion, a son shouldn't take advantage of a father. You know, I didn't take advantage of a father relationship to be, you know, it wasn't, you know, oh, it's just dad, he's my boss, I'll be late to work today. No. That's not, you don't take advantage of that relationship, okay? But you have both. You have both relationships there. And because you're saved, you then become a child of God. And you know what God's asking the children of Israel in Malachi, going back to Malachi chapter 1, verse 6? He's like, okay, you call me a sir, you call me master. Why don't you treat me like a master? You call me father. Why don't you treat me like a father? You want all the benefits of being my child. You want to be an heir. You want to go to heaven. But what are you doing for me? How are you respecting me? And we're going to see in Malachi, probably in next week, we're going to see in Malachi, God saying, you're not my children. It's like me going to another man in the church and saying, hey, Dad, can I borrow your truck this week? You're like, hey, can I borrow your truck this week? You're like, you're not my son, and no, you can't borrow my truck. But you know, I can go to Dad and say, hey, Dad, can I borrow your truck this week? Like, yeah, mine works. And you know, he would work it out. You know, any of you men that's got sons in here, all right, or daughters, if your child comes to you and ask you for something, you're going to do what you can to help them out. Okay? But if I come to you and say, hey, Dad, got $50. A, no, I don't. B, you're not my son. Okay? But, you know, and that's what the children of Israel were doing. They were going to God saying, God, we need you. Or, Master, we need you. Like, I'm not your master. When was the last time you treated me as a master? well, Father, Father, please, I'm not your father. When was the last time you treated me as a father? Right? And the children of Israel, they were, it would be like one of the prodigal son's friends that was in the far country, coming home with the prodigal and expecting the same treatment as the prodigal son got. No, you're not my son. And we'll see, like I said, your position never changes. But the problem that the Israelites have is they were not the children of God at this point. They weren't keeping the sacrifices that were required. Okay? They weren't trusting in the future lamb that was going to come. And we'll get into some of that next week. But I just want to show you, and time's about done. I want you to remember this. If nothing else, as a servant, your position changes based on your service. As a child, as a son, your position always remains the same. And if you've been saved, and some of you may have doubts, I mean, it's okay. I mean, I think you ought to have a no for sure. When I got the assurance of my salvation, I knew for sure that I was a child of God. What does the Bible say? Verse number 6, and because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, where? Into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I know that's my dad. I do. And I know that God up in heaven is my heavenly Father. I know that because I have the Spirit of God in my heart, crying, Abba, Father. If you don't have that, if you don't have that, well, I don't know. I don't ever remember having that. It might be something worth looking into. Because we're going to see next week, God doesn't have much patience for people that want to say, you know, how would you like me to come every week and ask you for something, prefacing it by, hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. You get pretty old pretty quick. All right? Just think about that. Think about that concept. And we'll look at that next week about the Israelites and the profanity that they were offering. They were basically spitting in the face of God. And we're going to look at that next week. But that's what we'll cover today. And we'll pick it up next week, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity once again, Lord. I want to thank you for my father, my earthly father, and mercy for all that he's done for me and my mother. Lord, thank you for being a child of you. Thank you for caring for us, meeting our needs. And thank you for the opportunity that we can come to your throne. Bible says we can come boldly to your throne. And we can ask what we need. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we'd be good servants for you. Lord, when you come, God, I pray that you'd find us faithful. I pray that you would find us working and doing what we need to be. Lord, we don't want to displease you either as a servant or as a son. God, I pray that if there's anybody in here this morning that doesn't know that they're a child of God, Lord, that doesn't have that spirit in their heart crying, Abba, Father, that they would take care of that, Lord. It's not, the devil wants to tell people that, you know, people are going to think down on them if they get saved or go forward after they've already professed. But Lord, it's not worth waking up in eternity and having to spend in the hell. God, I pray that if there's anybody in here that's not saved, Lord, and I think most people are, but if there is, Lord, that they would just see their need of you, Lord, and that they would be willing to accept the adoption that you've given and the gift that you've given through your Son. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.